I'll read to you from Romans chapter 8, if you'd like to open your Bibles, I'd love for you to. Verses 1 and 2. And meetings like this are so great, aren't they? Fellowship, strength, preaching. But then it sure does addle your brains a little bit, doesn't it? Or, well, maybe it doesn't yours. Thank God for the preaching that's gone before. I love Kevin very much. Romans 8. First two verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I think that describes them.
Yes.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm going to read that verse again.
Yeah.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's my subject. Specifically, the first part of verse 2. Okay. No condemnation. No condemnation now. How many of you have read the last half of Romans 7 lately? You know, I mean, okay, I'm going to use you as my illustration. Maybe that'll keep you awake. You're sitting out there and you're battling your biology. Your inner man wants to stay awake. Your flesh wants to go to sleep. Say amen, church.
Amen.
Might there be a warfare within your person?
Yes.
That's just one tiny, silly example of what Paul's driving at in the last half of Romans 7. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
It is a daily struggle for each of us to serve God, keep Him first, think on the things of God, not politics. Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we love dirty laundry, not just the Eagles. Where'd that come from? I don't know. One name, Don Henley. I'm sorry. Thank you, Kevin. Need help preaching. I want you all to listen now. Paul said, and I bet you would say, that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And no one was there to take Paul to the sanatorium and lock him up in a rubber room or accuse him of being, you know what he was? He was a child of God whose inner man was surrounded by his corporal body, which has yet to be conformed to the image of Christ, and thus he was conflicted. It is the nature of the born again beast.
Amen.
And I might add, Listen, my beloved, the closer you try to walk to God and Christ, the more you will become aware of the fact that you cannot live as you would so love to live according to your inner man. You know why people don't want to draw nigh to Christ? Because the closer you get, the more His light shines on you, the more you see your imperfection and our wickedness, and even our bad motives. Yep. Amen.
Amen.
Paul would say here at the end of Romans 7, with the mind I myself serve the law of God. That's his new born again mind. But with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation. It's unbelievable.
Amen.
To them which are in Christ Jesus, people that are in that shape, are you with me? There is therefore now no condemnation to that person. Listen, that warfare that rages within your very being, come on, is one of the strongest evidences you'll ever get that you are one of the Lord's born again children. I assure you, the unregenerate do not have such a warfare. They do not have it. I'm going to ask you, do you argue with yourself? Man, that's crazy. That's just crazy. Now, somebody today called me weird. It's Kevin or Shannon or somebody. It must have been Shannon. So. Or Becky calls me weird too. How weird is it that you argue with yourself? It is normal. That's exactly right for the child of God. Y'all listen. What that means is there is part of you, the inner man, the real you. Can I use such language?
Yes.
The real you, the you that will one day be in glory with God while your body's lying in the earth. And that part of you is sitting in judgment and arguing against that part of you which it inhabits. But there is therefore now no condemnation to that individual. Does that not blow your mind? Now, today, and that'll be true tomorrow. Tomorrow you can read this verse and it'll be true. And the day after that, and the day after that till the last day, you can say there is therefore, in fact, I encourage you. Because see, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Our brains will, and I haven't forgotten verse 2, I promise. Our brains will mess us up and they'll argue with us and we'll, the devil will say to you, are you listening? He will say to you, you may not even be saved.
Right.
I want to point out that here Paul never, never questions his own salvation here in Romans chapter 8. He never questions it. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And by the way, the people, listen to me, the people who are conflicted, like I have described, are walking after the Spirit.
That's right.
That does not mean that you always do what your inner man tells you to do.
Right?
Right?
That's it.
And I am not saying that there's not a time when we're supposed to follow after the Spirit and obey God, and if we don't do that, we'll disobey. I know that's true. Okay. There is therefore now no condemnation. That is mind-boggling. To them which are in Christ Jesus, the prepositional phrase, in Christ Jesus, I think in this context means born again. And I love what we've heard. The preaching we've heard has been so great about what Christ has done for us. Okay? Why is it that there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ? Verse 2, the first part's what I want. For, or because, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What? Now the law of sin and death, my beloved. And I thought about opening my sermon, but just by telling you I love you, you people know that, right? I'm so crazy about you, I have no words to describe it. I need you worse than you need me, 100 to 1. Listen, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made every born-again person free from the law of sin and death that God gave Adam in the garden. And because Adam broke that by one man's transgression, we were all plunged into sin. And what that means, listen to me, that means because of what Adam's sin, because of one man's sin, everybody in Adam is going to hell. Unless God does something about it. And we deserve it. There's nothing. That's what we deserve. So listen to me. You do not have to commit a sin of your own to deserve to go to hell. I wish the whole world understood that. What Adam did affected all in him the same as if they had done it. The other side of that coin,
right?
What Christ did,
thank God. Amen.
Affected all that were in him.
Amen.
Just the same as if they had done it.
Amen.
First Adam and the last Adam. By the way, the last Adam means there won't be any more.
That's right.
I'll just throw that out there.
Right.
The Lord ain't going to rejuvenate this earth and put us back to the Garden of Eden and us all be conformed to the image of Adam. Boo hiss. The atonement of Jesus Christ has raised all of the... Listen to me. It has raised all of the elect far, in fact, infinitely above what Adam was before he fell.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And Paul says, includes himself, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And Paul, this is the very guy that said, I can't serve God. The thing that I want to do, I don't do. The thing I hate, the thing I do. I ask you, do thoughts go through your brain? You say, where did that come from? Isn't that wild? So, okay. You got a mind and a thought goes through there and your mind condemns your mind.
Yeah.
What is up with that?
Yeah.
And you are not crazy. You are a child of God is what you are. I want you to leave here today more convicted, more assured than you've ever been in your life that you are a child of God. When you leave here, I want you to be convicted of that. And I fully realize that before supper time, you're going to sin again, maybe. The reason I know that, I will too. So what do we say? Do we say, Oh, this is going to be mean right here. Okay, it's going to be a little bit mean. Do we say, well, I'm not getting progressively more and more sanctified, and therefore I have to think about whether I might be a false professor. Nope. Listen to me. If you have that conflict, you are God's child.
Yes.
Now, it is also true that God tans our hide when we need it. He scourges every son that he receives. You know, let me pause. You can't believe what kind of people the folks at Point Remove are. They asked me to preach on stuff. You know what they asked me to preach about last Sunday or a week ago? This new concept of gentle parenting. They want me to preach on it. As soon as I get my ducks in a row, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to. I can tell you what my theme's going to be. Gentle parenting produces really ungentle children. That's going to be Now, what brought all that up? You say, Brother Gary done gone around the bend. What brought that all up was the fact that we all have that warfare. We all have that conflict. Right? I mean, come on. Oh, my. Okay. The spirit, the law. What I want to do before I quit is explain this, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has made us free from the law of sin and death. Do you comprehend? Listen to me. Even as you walk around conflicted, as I so describe, and cannot do the things of God that you would like to do, and thoughts go through your mind that you say, where'd that come from? As you go through your life like that, I want you to know you are free from the law of sin and death. You've been made free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Point number one. It is the Spirit of life.
Yeah.
You know what it does? Y'all listen, I know that the Holy Spirit does lots of different things. Amen? I've found at least a dozen in the Bible that the Holy Spirit, different functions that the Holy Spirit does. Different hats the Holy Spirit wears. Whatever you want to, you know. We pray the Holy Spirit to anoint preaching, don't we?
Yes.
I don't even want to be in the pulpit if the Holy Spirit ain't holding me up.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Lots of things the Holy Spirit does. I'm not talking about any of them. What I'm talking about is the Holy Spirit going around giving eternal life to the dead in sins.
Yep.
It is the Spirit of life.
Yeah.
Do you understand? The Holy Spirit is going around the world giving eternal life to all for whom Christ died, wherever they may be on this planet. And that happens at the moment of God's choosing. You know why? Because the person's dead in sins. You know, dead people don't do something. I know that's bad grammar. Dead people don't feel anything. They don't think anything. I'm talking about dead people. Did you know dead people don't feel pain?
Right.
Dead people are not cognizant of the fact that they get to be offensive. Amen. Did Lazarus know he was stinking, or did Martha know? That's what I'm asking you. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. Look, y'all listen. I've used this illustration. If I had a dead corpse in here, now when all this I'm talking about, physical dead, I want you to think it's spiritual dead. Mm-hmm. All right, if I had a dead corpse in here, and I know a corpse is automatically dead, but I want you to know what kind of corpse I'm talking about. It's a dead corpse. If I had a dead corpse in here, I know. I love you. All I want is, I just want you to understand. If I had a dead corpse in here, and I drove a bulldozer over it, or upended the bulldozer on it, the dead corpse would feel nothing. There would be no response. About the best definition of life I ever heard in my life was in a biology textbook, and the definition of life was the capability to respond to a stimulus. I'll let you put that in the spiritual realm.
Yeah, right.
What I'm telling you is the spirit of life. The spirit of life goes around the world giving life to people that are dead in sins.
Amen.
They pass from death in sins unto life in Christ at the command of the Spirit of life.
Amen.
And that is why Paul could say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Okay, now the next thing I want to say, it is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I lovingly submit that the Bible is perfect.
Amen.
I think the English of it is perfect. I'm wild about English.
Amen.
I'm absolutely crazy about it. It is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And I want you to understand that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are and always have been and always will be in absolute unity. They are in one mind.
Yes, right.
And who can turn him?
That's right.
And I want you to know that all that God the Father chose before the foundation of the world, 1 Corinthians 1:30, says that he put them in Christ.
That's right.
And all of those Christ redeemed. Pause. Bible says God promised eternal life before the world began. My question to you, to whom did he promise it? To himself, true. But did God promise eternal life to anybody who isn't going to get it? Right? That's something, it's outrageous to even think such. Christ redeemed them all. Amen.
Amen.
Every person that Christ redeemed. Y'all listen to me. They're out of every nation, kingdom, tribe, tongue, and family. Y'all, that goes from Adam and Eve to the last one all over the world today. Right now! Right?
Yeah.
Y'all, in the most ancient dynasties of China, in the Belgian Congo in the 19th century, the Holy Spirit goes around giving eternal life to those in Christ. By the way, did you know the Bible teaches the doctrine of immediate Holy Spirit regeneration?
Yes, sir.
And we use that theological term, even though the term's not in the Bible, but the doctrine is.
Right.
Amen. Did y'all know that immediate Holy Spirit regeneration, that is, God, that the Holy Spirit performs, quickens the dead into life, unassisted, no gospel, no preacher, no Bible, no anything. Did you know that immediate Holy Spirit regeneration is the only way that God could guarantee this thing anyway?
Right.
If it were left up to us, we'd gum up the works.
That's right.
Us conflicted people.
Right.
Remember, we're conflicted. Okay. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And the last thing I want to say, or one of the last things, is it says the law. Okay, you got the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, but it says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And may I just tell you, the Holy Spirit is God. Just as much God as the Father or the Son. And because the Holy Spirit is God, His Word is law. Listen to me. When the Holy Spirit, at the moment of God's choosing, comes to the heir of promise, who was chosen in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, but has not yet been born again, when the time comes for the Holy Spirit, comes to that heir of promise, who is yet dead in sins. Are you with me? When the Holy Spirit comes to that person to give them life, listen, they don't stay dead. They live. Oh, I love to think about the dead baby in Ezekiel 16. Yeah. Lord passes by, what does he say?
Live.
He passes by the second time. They get married later. That's a lot in that. But did you notice that dead baby there? That baby just as dead as a macaroni. Spiritually. Yeah, remember that. Dead as a macaroni. Yo, look. There was no spiritual life in that baby. Okay, if you don't like that illustration, think about Adam in the Garden of Eden before God gave him life. Same thing. Got dead Adam, you know. In both cases, what happens? You don't walk up to the dead person and ask them questions.
That's right.
Or give them commandments. Or woo and plead and beg. No, you don't. When you're the Holy Spirit, your word is law.
Yes, sir.
And you say live. I think about creation. God said, let there be light. And there was light. By the way, if I read that chronology correctly there in Genesis, there was not yet anything in existence in the universe that was capable of producing life.
That's right.
I don't think. No sun, no moon, no stars yet. Way too early. Day one, God says, let there be light. And there is apparently, from all the natural, sourceless light created instantly because God's word is law. And when God comes in the person of the Holy Spirit to a person that's not yet born of God, God does not leave that person dead in sins. Are you with me?
Amen.
I want you to know the Holy Spirit is successful every single time. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay. As I close, you say, okay, I don't always do right. I know. I argue with myself. I know. And let me say this. You say, well, I don't always want to go to church. I know. And let me pause. We should do everything we do to serve God out of love.
Right.
But if you can't do it out of love, the law's there to catch you.
Right.
It is, listen to me, it is better to come to church out of a sense of duty than not come.
Right.
I've heard that mess talk. And you know what God will do? He'll be so good, you'll come to church out of duty, and you'll get an amazing blessing anyway, because God is so great.
Amen.
I know you're conflicted. Paul was too. But what did he say? He never did say, I don't know whether I'm a child of God or not, and I don't want you to say that either. You hear me?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you've got that inner man in there, you've got a spiritual, internal combustion engine in you. It's the new creature. You know what that means? You have been spiritually fathered by God. I love you with all my heart.